Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. The text for our meditation this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 2. We read verses 9 through 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As I mentioned a little earlier in the service, on the last Sunday of the church year, we usually do celebrate the kingship of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, of course, is a king unlike any other king. And this unique king has some very unique crowns, crowns which reflect Jesus' unique kingship. As I was working on the sermon this week, I realized we do have some banners that speak of some of the crowns of Jesus on our wall. I believe those were originally made for maybe a tour choir concert that had that theme of the crowns of Christ. So we kind of have this reminder every week as we come to our worship services of the crowns of Jesus. And so today, as we praise our heavenly King Jesus and we sing out the familiar words of the hymn we're about to sing, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," we'll be considering some of the crowns of Christ the King. First of all, what do you think would be a fitting crown for such a king? A fitting crown for the King of Kings. Probably the first thing that would come to my mind would be the crown jewels in England. And according to the UK's Historic Royal Places website, they say the crown jewels are the nation's most precious treasures, including the sacred coronation regalia used at the coronation of new monarchs. We just saw some of these brought out just this past year, the crowning of their king. Comprising more than 100 objects and over 23,000 gemstones, the crown jewels are priceless, being of incalculable, easy for me to say, cultural, historical, and symbolic value. In the printed copies of the sermon today, you'll see a photo of one of the crowns from the crown jewels, probably the most famous crown, this crown. It is dated back to 1616. It is called St. Edward's Crown. And according to that same website, St. Edward's Crown is the most important and sacred of all the crowns. It is used only at the moment of crowning itself. Incredibly ornate, incredibly valuable crown, very old, just used at the coronation, just that one time when the king is crowned. The most priceless, the most important and sacred of all the crowns, that sounds like the perfect crown for the heavenly King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Right? You'd think so. As you probably already know, Jesus never wore a crown like this one. Never wore a St. Edward's crown or one even like it. But instead, the first crown that Jesus chose to wear was the one we heard about in our gospel reading. He wore this crown, the crown of thorns, is on one of the banners that you see in our church building today. The crown of thorns was the crown he wore at his first coronation. Instead of a majestic ceremony, it was actually a coronation of ridicule, humiliation, and pain at the hands of the Roman soldiers. As we read in our gospel reading, the governor's soldiers stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, knelt in front of him, and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, took the staff, and hit him repeatedly on his head. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, then they led him away to crucify him. What kind of king is this? Why would Jesus, the King of Kings, do this and go through this? Do you think Jesus' disciples and his followers had the same thoughts when they saw Jesus arrested, beaten, taken to the cross, and then willingly be crucified? This is the Messiah. This is the Christ that we've been waiting for, the King that God has sent to save us. He won't even fight back. Look how weak he looks. Now he's allowing himself to be put to death. What is he doing? Well, Jesus, of course, knew exactly what he was doing. He willingly stepped down from heaven's glory, and as our text puts it from Hebrews, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels. He willingly wrapped himself in human flesh and became one of us. He willingly made his first throne a wooden manger. During every breath of his life, he lived in perfect obedience to God's law as our substitute. It's one of the reasons he became one of us. And finally, at the end of his life, he willingly took that crown of thorns and that horrible cross. Why? Again, as our text from Hebrews says, Jesus went through the suffering of death that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. It also says that God made Jesus the captain of our salvation, perfect or complete, through suffering. He wore that crown of thorns so that you and I would never have to. Jesus took the stains of sin on his soul so that ours would be washed clean, that we would be declared righteous before God. He tasted death and hell so that we would have life forever in heaven. But of course, Jesus did not wear that crown of thorns forever. Because of his perfect obedience and because he willingly wore that crown and endured the suffering of death, our text tells us that God has crowned Jesus with glory and honor. That's a crown we don't often think of Jesus wearing because we don't always realize it. We don't always realize that Jesus is now wearing that crown of glory and honor and ruling over all things in heaven and on earth for the good of his believers. We look at the world around us, we don't always think it looks that way. Yet Paul writes in Ephesians, "He, God the Father, raised him, Christ, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God has also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Again, we don't always or may not always see Jesus' power and ruling at work. We may not always be able to understand the mysterious ways in which he's controlling all things for the good of his church. We may even look at this world and think that things are completely out of control. No one's got the reins of this out of control world. But make no mistake, there will come a day when everyone will see clearly. Everyone will see with their own eyes that Jesus is King when he comes again in glory to judge all people on the last day. Again, more words from the Apostle Paul, this time from Philippians chapter 2. "Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So what does all of this mean for us? Well, because Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor in heaven, it means, first of all, that we have the assurances in this life that Jesus, our King, is using his power and his ruling authority, his perfect love, protecting us, working all things out for our good with his almighty power. That he's guiding all things, directing and controlling all things in our lives and even in the entire universe itself for our eternal good. And secondly, because he wore that crown of thorns, another crown comes into the picture. This, however, is a crown that our King Jesus gives to us. It is the crown of life. Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 2, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." And the crown of life, by that, Jesus means real life, eternal life in heaven with Him. Have you seen or heard those words before here in this church? They are right there each and every Sunday. "I will give you the crown of life." A reminder that because Jesus wore that crown of thorns, that is the crown He now gives to you and to me. Amazingly, this is not the only crown that Jesus has won for us. That would be enough, wouldn't it? The crown of life. Because Jesus now wears the crown of glory, our text tells us that He has brought many sons to glory. Those words are speaking about you and me. Yes, even if you are a female, the Bible says, and this verse says, you and I are sons. Why does it say sons? Because that means we are the heirs. We are the heirs of His kingdom. We are the ones who are going to rule in heaven with Him and receive a crown of glory of our own. Isn't that an amazing thought? That because we have Jesus, because He has given us the crown of life and the crown of glory, because He did that, we who deserved actually the crown of thorns now have the crown of life and the crown of glory. We who deserve the crown of death have eternal life. Instead, Jesus was the one that wore that wretched crown, willingly and lovingly. Now that wretched crown that was meant to humiliate Him and inflict pain on Him is, despite the claims made about St. Edward's crown, it is the most precious, priceless, the most important and most sacred of all the crowns. Thank you, Jesus, for wearing that crown so that He and all of us could be crowned with glory and eternal life. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.